If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. You're listening to Damian Richardson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Quite like talking to Ashutosh Patak. I'm sure I'm getting his name wrong. So, you know, I know I'm probably getting his name wrong. I was waiting for him to correct me on my name, but then he started calling me Richardson. And I felt okay. I didn't feel as bad as maybe not getting his name spot on because, you know, normally people might call me Damien. I think it was even Danny right at the end there. But I did like something I did like about being called Richardson. Made me sort of sit up a little bit, like, yeah, had some authority to it. But it'd be good to get Ashutosh back because there's so many things to talk about, particularly in that region because – you know, here we are, 26 million Australians and counting. And that was so interesting to talk to Tom yesterday who rang up in the open line. But we're talking back to me and Cossack saying that 27 million Russians were killed during the Second World War. 27 million, that's more than actually Australia. And you see Australia is a smallish place, but if you saw 26 million people stand together, you think, well, that's a lot of people. Well, 27 million of them killed is extraordinary. And again, these figures, when you consider there's 1.4 billion, over 1.4 billion people in India, and right next door to India is on its northern border there is China, with over 1.5 billion people in the world. And yes, you wonder why Australia sometimes struggles to make a stand for itself and its own values. Well, maybe that's the reason why, particularly as these people become wealthier than they've ever been. I remember back in the day when I was going to school and we had to learn poems by Bruce Storr, you know, and these poems were, there's one called The Not So Good Earth, and it was about people struggling to make an existence in China in particular, and how difficult that was, and how I don't reckon that poem would be read anymore in schools because it wouldn't make sense of the world we live in today. And that's only, what am I? Oh, I don't need to give my age away, but look, that's some decades ago. I imagine that would have been in the 80s. In the early 80s that I was studying works like that and the way people would think, the way children would think in particular now going to school, you know, I think we were studying Bruce Storr. Sometimes Gladness was the name of the collection volume of his work. I'm sure kids studying about China today are learning totally different things about what that economy and those people are capable of and the importance of that relationship to Australia and also India, and remembering that India and its Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, is the Prime Minister of the biggest democracy in the world. What does that mean? And I'll be interested to ask our guest, if he comes back, Ashutosh Patak, about that, what it does mean, because I think it's something now, and I don't know how democracy operates really in a country of 1.4 billion people. I hear there's a lot of backsheesh in India, a lot of, you know, you got to pay someone to get something to happen, but this is a hearsay. I have actually heard that from native Indian people, but nonetheless, perhaps Modi could now become a champion of democracy to the people of the world because, let's face it, democracy, what is left of it, is in need of some champion, and it's not going to be Xi Jinping that's championing it as the leader of the one state party right next door. So many people gathered together. But could Modi do something like that as well? I believe he was pretty strong in standing up to Pfizer during the pandemic. And maybe there's some hope there because I don't think people feel so much hope when they look at Joe Biden, who our foreign minister met just the other day. And he was talking about the importance of the AUKUS alliance, which I know is going to really delight Aussie Cossack when we talk about that. I'm sure we'll talk about that in the next few minutes because Cossack's going to come on and we're going to do an hour of basically Cossack and I, well, 45 minutes as we did yesterday. It worked so well yesterday. We had so many people ringing up, had a switchboard full of people trying to talk to, well, let's face it, they were mainly trying to talk to the Cossack, but they sort of went through me on the way through. Some girl from Texas too saying that she was in love with Cossack. She couldn't talk on the phone, but she just wanted to send a message anyway. Ladies, you know, where are the messages for me? Not coming through so thick and fast. Never mind. I'll ignore it. And if you want to ring us up, just ring us up on 1-800-670-310. That's 1-800-670-310. But Kevin Rudd was talking about the importance of the AUKUS deal, and particularly that it's nonpartisan. So obviously that means that the Liberal Party support it, and then when Labor come to power, Labor support it as well. And Rudd was saying how much he's looking forward to Joe Biden coming to Australia next month. So Joe Biden is planning a visit to Australia next month. I'm sure that is going to absolutely fire up the Aussie Cossack. I don't know if he knew that. I'm sure he's listening now. He knows now that Joe Biden's coming here next month. Perhaps he can take a visit out to the consulate in Sydney there and say g'day to our Cossack. Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
The facts, no spin or agenda.
Not enough with the lies. We need the facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Despite earlier indicating he wasn't planning on making the journey, Anthony Albanese has confirmed he will attend the July NATO Leaders Summit in Lithuania. TNT Radio News producer Jeremy Beck has details on this story. Jeremy?
Thanks, Damien. The NATO Annual Leaders Summit will be held on the 11th and 12th of July in Vilnius, Lithuania, where discussion on the ongoing conflict in Ukraine will be high on the agenda. Now, as we've discussed previously on this show, reports emerged in recent weeks that Mr. Albanese would not attend this year's summit, in part because of his travel schedule. This also includes King Charles III's coronation in England next month on Saturday, the 6th of May. But now a spokesperson for Mr. Albanese confirms the PM will indeed attend the July NATO summit. The spokesperson says Australia shares with NATO members a commitment to supporting democracy, peace and security, and upholding the rule of law. The Prime Minister's attendance at this year's NATO Leaders Summit will be an important opportunity to reinforce Australia's support for these global norms, demonstrate solidarity in response to Russia's illegal and immoral invasion of Ukraine, and advocate for Australia's economic, climate and trade agenda. Well, that's the opinion of our Prime Minister's spokesperson, Damien. It's quite sickening to me.
Jeremy, is this change of heart by Albanese surprising to you?
Not really, Damien. He has come under a lot of pressure, including from the so-called opposition leaders or the opposition leader and spokesman. We've got opposition foreign spokesman Simon Birmingham. Just last week, he said that we should be going to the NATO Leaders Summit, represented by a Prime Minister, armed with a new and comprehensive package of support for Ukraine across military, humanitarian, and other assistance to make sure we continue to defend the rules-based order where it is under direct threat at present by Russia through their invasion of Ukraine. So that's the so-called opposition leader, the opposition foreign spokesman, Simon Birmingham. And of course, the Liberal Party position is pretty much identical to the Labor Party on Ukraine. And this NATO summit, Damien, will be very much focused on Ukraine. Now, pouring more and more arms into a horrific conflict is only going to inflame it and create more death. And where's it going to end? This is just absolute mad stuff, Damien. But our Prime Minister's had his arm twisted, no doubt from many other people as well, including the leadership in NATO itself. But no, I don't think it's too surprising.
So is he ceding our sovereignty, or is this more a case of honouring our US alliance, our friend in the United States?
Well, I think our former leaders would have a different view. Certainly, Malcolm Fraser, former Prime Minister, he wrote about our dangerous allies, and he was referring to the United States and the United Kingdom. And I think he was right. Malcolm Fraser was very concerned about Australia's sovereignty and really following too much along with every single war that the United Kingdom and the United States drags Australia into. And certainly this is happening now. I think our leaders of yesteryear would be rolling in their graves. Certainly Malcolm Fraser would be.
Well, I think Kevin Rudd's just made his ideas pretty obvious around this. He wouldn't maybe have the same opinion as Malcolm.
Paul Keating certainly has been very outspoken on the issue. And I might add that I've not had too much time for Paul Keating over the years. I've been very critical of him. But in this case, I think he's right.
I reckon you might just sit back and wait for an invite over for dinner at some stage, Jeremy. Those sort of words are going to appeal to the former Prime Minister, I'm sure. And thank you so much for leading the news so effectively as you have done all week. And enjoy your, I suppose it is your Anzac Day weekend, Jeremy.
You too, Damien.
Thanks, mate. You're listening to TNT Radio.
Greg Maybury on TNT Radio.
The quote that you took from Orwell's 1984, power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. I guess the question that arises from that for me is, was 1984 an example of a pathocracy, albeit a fictional one?
Yeah, I definitely think so. There's something else going on behind these revolutions, especially in the case of, you know, the time that 1984 was written, that, you know, inspiration behind that being like the communist revolution, the Russian revolution. There is a psychological phenomenon going on that is not understood by the general public and a lot of scientists. And one of the reasons for that is that they haven't experienced it directly. They don't have a practical understanding of it.
The No Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Damian Richardson and the Aussie Cossack now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, at this particular point in time, we have our threat to national security on the line in the consulate in Sydney, on the lovely Sydney beaches there, overlooking the harbour. But before we get to him, and we've got a little clip we want to play as well, just showing how much of a threat he is to national security, because he's actually mentioned, he's named, he's outed in a Senate committee today. But before that, well, as I say, there's people ringing up and there's already someone on the line. We've got a pretty full desk here. Tell me, Stephen, are you there, Stephen, from Gerringong, and you want to ask the Aussie Cossack about the conflict that's coming up in the Balkan region?
Yeah, man, I'm still here. It's actually Gerringong, pronounced Gerringong.
Gerringong. I was just testing you out, of course, Gerringong. Where is Gerringong?
If you know where Wollongong is, it's about
45 minutes
out, drive south from there.
The gongs. Anyway, yes, the gong is on. Talk to you. Great, mate. What do you want to ask the Cossack?
Look, I just wanted to get his opinion on what he thinks is going to happen in the upcoming conflicts that are long overdue. Really, they never stopped. They were just sort of frozen from the west in the Balkan region. And how he thinks that now, if Russia's regained seat on the global scale, how that's going to play into it this time. Because it was pretty one-sided in the 90s with the West kind of taking reign over that region. And I just wanted his opinion on how he thinks it will play out in the coming years.
Well, it all depends, my answer, which side you're on. I imagine being from Gerringong, you're probably Macedonian background. Am I right?
That's correct, mate.
What a great guess, huh? 10 points to the Aussie Cossack for guessing. I know there's a good, strong Macedonian community down there, Wollongong, Gerringong area. So big shout-out to that great community. Look, you know, your question about a conflict in the Balkans. I mean, the Balkans have been fighting on and off for hundreds of years now. And you've got all those nationalities in there. You've got Albanians, Serbians, Croatians, Macedonians. You know, it's a recipe for conflict, recipe for disaster. And it all depends on how NATO, you know, are going to approach the situation. We know that NATO are capable of, you know, pouring petrol on a fire. When there's potential for conflict, NATO seem to take advantage of any potential conflict by supplying arms and weapons and money into the region, just as they've done in the Middle East many times, in Southeast Asia many times, in, you know, North Africa. And that's part of their business model. So as long as NATO stays out of the Balkans, there should be peace. And it would be great if all these nationalities, if all these small countries could get along. We know that in that area, there's been conflict in the 90s, and there are issues now around Kosovo and so forth. But I think, look, Russia will always have its allies' interests at heart. And unlike the Americans, the Russians seem to look after their allies. I mean, look how they came to the aid of Syrian Assad government, which is now flourishing. And amazingly, Assad government's now being invited to Saudi Arabia, and they've come back into the sort of mainstream international community. So that my answer to that, I mean, in terms of the Balkans, is as long as NATO keep their grubby paws away from the area, there should be peace. And for all those small little countries there and all those great nationalities and those great people that live there, you know, I love people from the Balkans. Doesn't matter what nationality they are, they're all great people. And I've got a lot of friends from that area in Sydney, Western Sydney, all around the place in New South Wales, Melbourne, Brisbane, people just like yourself. So thanks for giving us a call today, and well done for you know, sticking up for your community. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're from the Macedonian community. You're interested in your heritage and your roots. What we're seeing now in Parliament is legislation being brought in to stop people from speaking up about their opinions, about where they've come from. And now the government is really setting a double standard here, where our government is getting involved in wars by sending weapons and money, the Albanese government, but it wants to restrict its citizens of what they can and can't say on social media and about them sharing their own opinion. Now, that's very concerning, but thanks very much for the call.
Thanks very much, Cossack. Appreciate it, mate.
Good on you.
Good on you, Stephen. It's interesting because there's conflict in all these different communities, isn't there? Because I know the Macedonian community often seems to have conflict with the Greek community. And I know I went to a Greek community event last year to celebrate Lane being named after a battle in Greece, Kalamata. I think the battle was like 1812 or something like that off the top of my head. And I put it on Facebook that it was a celebration of defeating the Ottoman Empire. And I got all these Turks jumping on my page telling me I was an idiot and I shouldn't know what I was talking about. So there's a lot of tensions in a lot of regions in Europe in particular, isn't there, Cossack?
Well, Damien, it's great that we've started our segment with that phone call because that really sets the tone for what we're about to hear next. And what we're about to hear next is an excerpt from the Australian Senate today in Canberra. Now, this is a soundbite that was literally published a couple of hours ago, fresh news, exclusive news on TNT. It's got a Senate hearing committee about foreign influence in social media. Now, that sounds very suspicious. What is foreign influence in social media? What you're about to hear, guys, is the co-chairman of the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organizations speaking in the Senate and basically throwing everyone under the bus. She said some really outrageous things. We'll let everyone make their own opinion up and call up if you do have an opinion about this. She's basically accusing Australian politicians of attending freedom rallies, anti-vax rallies, and then trying to say the anti-vax rallies and the freedom rallies are interlocked with the pro-Russian movement in Australia. She's named the Aussie Cossack. And she's calling upon the government to persecute those who have an opinion. Now, this goes completely against everything that Australian values stand for. I mean, this lady of Ukrainian origin, she's welcome to live in Australia. You know, she's got an American accent. I don't know where she comes from exactly, but she's obviously not born in Australia. But she's welcome to come to Australia and have her views. Now, why does she find it so offensive that there are other views out there, that there are freedom rallies and anti-vaxxers, and there are people who are not afraid to challenge the mainstream media narrative? So it's very concerning. But before we comment any further, yeah, let's have a listen to this, Damien.
Okay, Russian great. Propaganda and what we see as foreign interference through social media, which is one of the most active channels that the Russian Federation currently activates not only its employees through the consulate and the embassy, but has other agents within the community. And the things that I would like to draw your attention to, which you're probably aware of, is Semyon Boykov and the following that he has, both through his YouTube channel that has recently been closed, but other social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Telegram. On Telegram, there's also a Telegram channel called Tasmanian Diablo, and they've found a very innovative and interesting way to do that, where they target different subgroups in Australia to try and influence opinion and perception. For example, through Semyon Boykov and the Russian consulate and Russian agents here in Australia, they have been very successful in infiltrating the anti-vax movement. Yeah. So first they become, they learn about the ideals and aims of a certain movement, they share those ideals and views, quickly become leaders of that, and then through that they place typical Russian narratives and propaganda, and they have been very successful in infiltrating that entire anti-vax movement here in Australia. That's just as one example.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really interesting insight, and I guess one of the challenges we have as a parliamentary committee, but that also the Ukrainian-Australian community has, is differentiating between people who are just sympathisers for Russia, which although we might find that hard to understand and frankly pretty offensive, it's not necessarily unlawful and not necessarily foreign interference. And those who are either directed or aided or encouraged by the Russian state, which obviously crosses that important legal line and does constitute foreign interference and a potential crime. Now, some of those are quite obvious. The gentleman you referred to, I think, is currently resident at the Russian consulate in Sydney. It's fairly clear what his links to the Russian government are, but not all of them will be equally evidenced.
The Australian law enforcement agencies have been very open and willing to listen, but I think there's an issue here where they can use the full force of the law, and where they can just sympathize and say, we hear you, but there's really nothing that we can do. So, for example, when these so-called freedom rallies were launched all across Australia, it was very clear that it wasn't a freedom rally. It was a rally against providing aid to Ukraine. Mm. And although it was under the flag of come march with us because we're pro-neutrality and against war, all the signs that you could see in that rally, all the flags were Russian. People were wearing T-shirts with Z symbols on there. So it was, there were very clear motives and messages behind that. Zelensky's face was everywhere with his name. So it wasn't just pro-peace. It was specifically against Ukraine. And that's where we saw a lot of aggression, a lot of bikies, the Night Wolves, different groups that that took part in that. And I, as a mother with a young child, if I would be walking past that, I certainly would be fearful. So it was very clear in inciting violence. And one of the slogans that was used was, and I'll say it in Russian and translate it, it was «Работайте, братья», which means «work, brothers». And that line is used on the front lines in Ukraine, meaning «kill more Ukrainians».
Senator Walsh.
Thank you very much for being here. And I must say that your evidence has genuinely astounded me, because I do see that there, what you're reporting has been reported more widely. But I'll just say I wasn't aware of the links between Russian influencers, agents, whatever the correct term might be, and the broader anti-vaccination movement.
Cossack.
Well.
Where do you begin? You go, mate. You go, and then I've got to have a stab too, because that's that. Please, yep.
Well, look, I mean, isn't that great that closing remarks by the senator? I wasn't aware
Senator
of the
Walsh,
evidence.
Senator Walsh, yeah. You know,
Senator Walsh.
Oh, all over it. She's all over it.
She's saying, I wasn't aware of the links between the Russian agents and the anti-vax movement. I mean, this is exactly what the government wants to push. They want to paint everyone who's in disagreement with the narrative, they want to paint them with that brush. Mm. Now,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen,
you're allowed
this
to.
Is very dangerous. This is really dangerous. If we allow the government to get away with this, let's start with the fact that this woman in Parliament who was speaking in the first half of that soundbite, her name is Katerina Arguru, and she is from the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organizations. Now, of course, she's going to go into the Senate and point the finger at the Russians and the anti-vaxxers and the freedom movement and complain. But guess what? We live in Australia. And everyone has a right to their opinion. Now, this girl, you know, Katerina, God bless her, she's from Western Ukraine. She wasn't born in Australia. She's got an American accent. But she's welcome to live in Australia and have her position and have her point of view. Now, if you want to talk about foreign influence, no one seems to be pointing the finger at the Ukrainian community and the way they lobby our parliamentarians, the way they infest our parliament and Senate, where you've got our senators screaming, glory to Ukraine, Slava Ukraini, let's give them more weapons, give them more money, and give them more aid. It seems to be that no one seems to be complaining about that. Now, if you're going to go after foreign influence, treat everyone equally, right? Foreign influence is not just Russia or not just China. In fact, I would say 98% of the foreign influence in Australia is from the West, is from the Americans. And now we've got the Ukrainians, they feel very comfortable walking around the hallways of parliament, because you've got all these politicians who have been inundated or brainwashed by the Ukrainian side. Now, we've got a couple of channels here and there. We've got a couple of movements, freedom movements, and it's not my fault. It's not Aussie Cossack's fault.
So-called freedom movement.
Yeah, freedom movement. It's not Aussie Cossack's fault that it just happens to be, coincidentally, that 98% of the people who are unvaccinated and against the government mandates and lockdowns, 98% of those people are coincidentally also anti-NATO and anti-involvement of Australia in that war in Russia and Ukraine. And that's the message we've been pushing. We've been pushing a message of Australian neutrality. Now, you look at these Ukrainian activists in our Senate today trying to accuse us of foreign influence. We're looking at this from an Australian perspective. We're saying, don't send our Australian troops to war. Don't send our taxpayer dollars to war. Don't send Australian weapons to war. And that hardly sounds like a pro-Russian position. That sounds to me like a pro-Australian position. But of course, that doesn't suit the narrative. That doesn't suit the Ukrainians, because they want Australia to be involved in the war. These Ukrainian politicians and activists, they would love to see Australian troops, Australian weapons, and our hundreds of millions of dollars of your taxpayer money from the Australian taxpayer sent to Zelensky. Damien?
Cossack, Look, I've just got to calm down to know where to begin. So, I wasn't even aware of the Ukrainian conflict. I know there's been treaties that were signed in 2014, the Minsk Accords, et cetera, but I wasn't thinking about Ukraine. When I stood up in Melbourne and said, I've had enough of being locked down by Daniel Andrews after in 2021, I might add too, and the Russian hot war broke out in February 2022. So I was already out on the streets, already out supporting Russia before I was even thinking about Russia in a conflict with. It doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But you know what? The problem with Katerina and people like her is she knows it doesn't need to make sense because there's this group of unvaccinated people or people that stood against the gender that they become anything you want. You can say anything you want about them. As we saw so many people from the union movement come out, the union movement who are meant to be supporting the workers who didn't want to have an unnecessary vaccination program, call us fascists. Yet the fascists are fighting with the Ukrainian. Oh, don't worry about that. Doesn't have to make sense. None of it needs to make sense because it's just mudslinging. And come on, this Katerina, can she say something real? Drop down into a place of reality and say something truthful, something honest. She's also going, oh, if I walk past these protesters, I'm a single mother. I'm a single mother with a child and I'd feel very scared. Oh, come, are you joking? Are you joking? The freedom movement was about attacking single mothers with children. I know so many single mothers with children that were actually standing up going, I don't want my children to have to take this program. As a matter of fact, some of those single mothers took a jab themselves because they wanted to keep working so they could continue to support those children that they were trying to protect from it. So, Cossack, where do you begin? Where do you actually begin? Look, before we do go any further, and let's come back and talk about this some more. And if people want to ring up, please ring us up and talk to us about it, because we have descended into a level of insanity that it's hard to comprehend. But right now, we will go to news headlines. You are listening to TNT Radio.
Actually, we do have some big news.
Big news?
Yay.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Ukraine's allies are reportedly considering imposing a near total ban on all exports to Russia. The Iranian Navy says it's intercepted a nuclear-powered US submarine trying to enter its waters. Major airports in Germany have ground to a halt as security workers walk off the job over poor pay. And the most powerful rocket ever built exploded shortly after blasting off from a launch pad in South Texas on Thursday.
Our lines are now open.
Call the Aussie Cossack and Damian Richardson now. From the US and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I love how Katerina tries to paint herself as being the victim while she sticks the boot into the underclass that's been created for her by the political media establishment, the underclass being anyone who stood up for themselves, who had the temerity and the courage to say, no, I'm not taking this experimental jab. Ben from Hornsby, you're on the line. You want to talk to Aussie Cossack? Go away, Ben. Go for it, Ben. Sorry.
G'day, Cossack. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. I just wanted to say, this whole, I've been listening to the show for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes, the whole freedom movement, it all started, like the police targeted you specifically because you started sort of, if you like, being a leader of the freedom movement, more people rallied behind you, and that's when, and also the FCP, Film the Police movement started, that's when the police started being embarrassed left, right and centre, and the views just blew up on YouTube. And so the police decided to double down and go after you. They got you on a technicality. The sentence was manifestly inappropriate. Thankfully, for a first offense, thankfully it was overturned. So I think actually, since then you're following almost doubled since then. But the police obviously have a vested interest in going after you specifically because you speak out against the agenda. And there is obviously an agenda, and anyone that doesn't agree with the agenda becomes a target. It started off with the anti-vax movement, and now it's anyone that doesn't agree with what's either in the mainstream media or what the politicians want to put out on that given day. It's just it's a total double standard. And, declaring you a, what do they say, a high national security interest? I mean, that sort of thing that terrorists are classified as. I don't know any other terrorist that has on their YouTube channel a video of themselves playing Waltz and Matilda. I've never seen a terrorist be patriotic to the country that they're so invested in trying to destroy. It's just it's a targeted campaign, and now, you know, the YouTube channel's been taken down. Once again, it's part of the agenda. Google and YouTube don't like what you've got to say, so they feel they can just remove people whose opinions differ from their own. It's not right.
Well, thank you very much for your call. We can see here that you're driving there. It's a bad signal. But look, at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves as Australians, is this legislation, is it appropriate, this foreign influence or foreign interference legislation? I'm all for stopping foreign influence in Australia. There's no doubt about that. And I've been talking about this for years, that there is a unusual and inappropriate level of foreign influence over our politicians and over our foreign policy, but it doesn't come from YouTubers from Western Sydney. We're talking about big armed manufacturers, you know, Raytheon, Boeing, you know, the ASPE, the big think tanks, Lowy Institutes, Doherty Institutes. That's where the influence is coming from. So what they're doing is they're deflecting pointing the finger at, you know, the homegrown mum and dads, the locals who have been speaking up, and they're afraid not of foreign influence in this instance. I think they're afraid of influence, full stop, right? The caller, Ben from Hornsby, was absolutely right. I mean, we've been on the streets defending Australians' freedoms for several years since the lockdown started, when there was no talk of anything to do with Russia or Ukraine.
No.
Very conveniently, they've now painted this, you know, freedom movement, saying that it's a pro-Russian Kremlin, you know, just because you don't like what they're saying. And it's that easy, guys. It's that easy to paint people with that foreign influence brush. And I'm glad we're talking about this. This legislation was brought in under Peter Dutton. It's completely inappropriate. It's vague. It's ambiguous. There have only been two people charged so far. One of them is now before the courts. And that was, you know, very ambiguous. We were talking about it yesterday, Ken and Evelyn. And that's another hilarious story. If you want to look for foreign influence, look in the parliament. Have a look who Penny Wong is talking to. Have a look who Albanese is taking orders from. Have a look who Gladys Berejiklian, Brad Hazzard, David Elliott, and Dan Andrews were taking orders from when they were putting in the lockdown and vaccine mandates. Now, that's where you're going to find foreign influence, not going after citizen journalists and people on, you know, on the streets protesting against government mandates, claiming that this is supported somehow or organized by the Kremlin. I mean, that's just a ridiculous, yeah.
That's the game, isn't it? That's the game that Katarina's playing too when she's before that committee. She's playing the game where she knows that's just play the game. It's like political correctness. You know the things that you're meant to say, and if you say them, you know you move through to the next stage. And if you question them or push back against them, you know there's a good chance you actually literally will not get a promotion in that job or whatever it is, et cetera. And she's just sitting there playing, you know, poor Ukraine, but that's the alliance. She knows she's playing to her strength. Her hand is a strong hand because that's the alliance that this country is supporting, and she can kick the boots into who is it? Oh, those people. That's right. Those vaccinated, those people that want to take a vaccination. It's easy to chuck the boot into us. But Ben's saying too, oh, treating us like terrorists. But I think you're so right, Cossack, you're on it, because now what they're really scared of is domestic terrorists. That's where the budget goes now. And it's not just in Australia, it's in all the Western worlds. The domestic terrorist is what keeps the security agencies' coffers full. That's where they get their funding from. And they will continue to do it moving into the future, and they want to find us to be domestic terrorists. Because
Damien, there are no domestic terrorists. There are no domestic terrorists in Australia, and there haven't been for many years. And there is no problem in Australia with terrorism, which is why they need to justify their funding, as you said, by aiming their resources and targeting those people in the community who speak up against the government narrative. It doesn't matter what angle you come from, whether it's anti-vax or you're against Australian weapons and money going overseas. If you're going against the mainstream media narrative and the government narrative, you are a target of the establishment, and they will look at you through the prism of this legislation. And today they'll take down the Aussie Cossack, but tomorrow they'll take down the mums and dads who are just minding their own business. because
you say there's no domestic terrorists, right? And I agree. So there's no domestic. I'll just put this to you. Do you think it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy that they'll put so much pressure on individuals eventually that individuals will actually crack under the strain and there will be examples of domestic terrorism, and then they'll go, ah, see, that's why we need more money. Look at that. There it is.
Well, if we rewind back to the days of the lockdowns, and I was quite prominent in that movement against the government restrictions, I was calling upon everyone not to be violent and not to resort to violence. And I remember saying, let's be above the police and above the government. Let's not stoop down to the level of the Victorian police and the New South Wales police. They're the ones who are violent. And we had hundreds of protests with huge numbers, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, hundreds of thousands of people in Canberra. And there was not any violence at all. Now, who was doing the violence? It was the cops. They were the ones pepper spraying people and shooting people with rubber bullets. So we've been very careful from the very beginning to not be painted with that brush, to not allow people like this Katerina in the Senate today to say, oh, that makes me fearful. You know, I'm pregnant or I have a child, and if I was to walk past that protest, I would be in fear. What does that even mean? So she wasn't in fear. She's saying I would be in fear. Because what? Because people are protesting legally, having filled out a notice of intention to assembly with the New South Wales Police, registering a protest. Guess what? This is Australia, and everyone has the right to talk about whatever they like. We still have freedom of speech here. And if the Ukrainians don't like the fact that there are people with differing opinions, if the Ukrainian community doesn't like that, they have to respect it. This is not Ukraine. This is Australia. And the Anzacs died for freedom. We're coming up to Anzac Day, and let's not forget that the Russians and the Anzacs were allies in the First World War, and the Russians were allies with the Australians in the Second World War. Now, this Senate committee was also attended by Senator Van. Now, Senator Van was photographed in Ukraine wearing the insignia of the Ukrainian 80th. So we've got an Australian senator whose trip to Ukraine, to the war zone, was funded by drone company SIPAC. And he's been photographed over there wearing a patch belonging to the 80th Battalion of the Ukrainian Army. Now, that patch derives from the Galicia SS Division.
Thanks, Matt.
The line... facing west, they want to talk about foreign influence. What's an Australian senator doing wearing Ukrainian insignia, which has links to the SS Galicia Division from Western Ukraine, which was part of the Nazi German forces? Now, that's what the foreign influence is in this country, and not mums and dads protesting against the vaccine.
Cossack, we go to a break. I'm going to come back. We've got a caller on the line. You are listening to TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
This past Wednesday, the Florida Board of Education did what Governor Ron DeSantis wanted them to do. They expanded the existing restrictions on the grooming of children in Florida schools. The law in effect, which is constantly referred to by the loony leftist media as the Don't Say Gay Bill, which is outrageously misleading, on purpose, of course, currently bans lessons on sexual orientation and gender identity from kindergarten through grade 3. The new provisions would expand that to include grades 4 through 12 for the most part. And the left can't take it. Listen to actress Patti LuPone on The View reacting on Wednesday.
And I've said this before, and I'm going to get in trouble, but I have said this before, and it's been in print. I don't know what the difference between our Christian right and the Taliban is. I have no idea what the difference is.
You're not the only person who's said that.
I just don't know what the difference is.
Yeah.
What's happening in this country right now in the name of religion is so dangerous. Yeah. And it's not this country. It's not American.
Well, Whoopi, then they are as sick and twisted as your guess. Most Americans can tell you that, among other travesties, the Taliban has barred women and girls from secondary schools and universities. Patti LuPone is either a plain idiot or a very useful one. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
For so many reasons, access to health care remains an enormous challenge for millions of children around the country. Imagine trying to manage a child's asthma while living in an urban homeless shelter, or growing up in a rural community where the nearest pediatrician is 3 hours away. Children's Health Fund has an innovative solution, a doctor's office on wheels that is actually a fully equipped mobile medical clinic. We go where kids need us most.
Visit childrenshealthfund.org to find out more.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with the Aussie Cossack and Damian Richardson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You're talking about the propaganda war, and it is. It's a war of information, Cossack. And you're talking about the police shooting at people. And I was there in Melbourne when the police shot at protesters retreating, running away from the Shrine of Remembrance, which will be remembered this Tuesday for Anzac Day. And I was talking to John Thwaites this week, who heads up the Department of Sustainability at Monash University. And it was a difficult interview because the guy wasn't going to accept anything I had to say, and it was very difficult to listen to the rhetoric. But nonetheless, I thought in good faith we could have a conversation. The conversation didn't really go anywhere, but ultimately we turned to the politics of the day, and I asked him about maybe the politics has been reduced by the fact that the Victorian police have been weaponized to actually shoot at Victorians. He said it didn't happen. I said, John, I was there. I'm telling you it happened. He basically says, no, it didn't happen. So if you just say, no, it didn't happen, does he really think it didn't happen? Is he unaware? Is he just sitting at home watching, you know, Sky News or 9, 7, 10? Or is that just the propaganda in operation? But the problem is him saying it didn't happen. So many mums and dads, like we talk about out there listening, will think, well, that's the former, you know, deputy premier of Victoria. Surely he's not going to make that up. And there's this anti-vaxxer on the radio saying, oh, yes, no, I know who I'll believe. So that's how the propaganda, it diminishes you as a human being. It takes away your dignity as a human being, someone to actually be believed or trusted in the first place.
Well, mate, that's exactly the problem that we're experiencing. It's not a matter of restricting not only what people say, but what's more concerning is they're restricting what people can listen to or what information people can read. Now, it's all well and good if they go out there and censor, for example, you know, Damien Richardson or the Aussie Cossack or you know, another independent journalist. And that's only one person. But what you're doing also, the government is doing, they're censoring the ability of hundreds of thousands of people in the audience to read that information, to hear that information. Now, that's where a lot of people aren't happy. You know, it's up to the individual to choose where they get their news from. If you want to get your news from the 6 o'clock mainstream media report or from Kochi on Sunrise or from, you know, Ray Hadley or John Laws, you're welcome to. If that's how you feel and if you're happy with that and you feel fulfilled and that's all you want to hear and you don't want to hear another opinion and you don't want to hear the other side of the story and you're happy to listen to the mainstream news, that's your decision. But there are many Australians out there and there are millions, I would say, of Australians out there, especially in the last 3 years, who have turned off the mainstream media. They've stopped listening to mainstream media. And it's often now that many Australians are using Telegram channels. They're using alternative sources of information, TNT radio, for example, and they're moving away from the mainstream media because they don't trust the mainstream media after what happened in the lockdowns with the forced vaccinations and the government coercion campaigns. The level of trust has gone. And this is what I think the government is worried about. That Australians are not so much at the risk of foreign influence. Australians are being exposed to influence in general, independent influence that's independent of the government-approved narrative. And I think a lot of people out there listening will appreciate that we need to stick up for independent media. We need to stick up for an alternative voice. We need to stick up for the other side of the story. And we need to challenge the narrative. Unfortunately, see, in our parliament, we don't have any challenging of the narrative anymore. We have two sides of politics, Liberal and Labor, who are in agreement on almost everything. It's bipartisan support all the way. And there is no arguing. There's no considerations. There's no parliamentary process anymore. We approved this $368 billion AUKUS deal, representing 1.5% of our GDP, without even having a debate in Parliament about it. How is that even appropriate? Now, talk about foreign influence. Look in the Parliament itself. Look at Penny Wong. Have a look who she's talking to. Who she's calling, who's calling her, who's speaking to Albo, who's speaking to our heads of government. Now, that's where the foreign influence is. And their paranoia and their hysteria and their double standards and hypocrisy, they're trying to take down innocent, homegrown, grassroots journalists who report on things around them. And that's appreciated by the community. Now, the community does not want there to be a one-sided argument. They want to have an alternative opinion, and that's why it's very important for us to talk about this. And this foreign influence bill is very, very dangerous because it's only a matter of time before we start seeing, yep.
I was just going to say, Kosik, it's interesting you're talking about, because you say so people aren't trusting the mainstream news anymore, and that's a real case. It's figures are plummeting, particularly newspapers, et cetera, that people just don't trust them anymore. They're not interested in using them as a news source anymore. And people are going online and they're becoming siloed in many respects, because I know when I'm online, I'm only going to go to the sites that I'm interested in. It's very hard for me to often hear a different opinion, and I think that's being true of everybody. But it's not just in Australia, isn't it? It's across the world. So any regime has got to be concerned about information dissemination, and you've been banned off of YouTube. So we could talk about that at some stage, I reckon. You had like 160,000 followers on YouTube that you'd built over a significant period of time. I'd like to ask you in a minute actually what excuse they used to tell you that you could not have that following anymore. But also we see it on Facebook. So Facebook's recently come out, and this is not really about Australia, although obviously there's implications for us as well. And they've banned an article by the American writer Seymour Hersh, who wrote basically an article pinning the blowing up of the Nord Stream, the gas pipeline, from Russia to the rest of Europe on the US alliance. That's now disinformation, false information, and that cannot be disseminated throughout the social media platform of Facebook. And that's the real problem for the regime, isn't it? So the regime is actually clamping down on the information it doesn't want disseminated.
Well, let me be very clear. The regime, if it had its way, if they had a magic wand, they would ban the use of Telegram. They would ban TNT radio. They would ban Facebook, they would ban anything, any alternative media. They would ban Twitter. They would ban anything, anywhere where someone can get alternative information that goes against the mainstream media narrative, the government narrative. And that's why they're very, very, un-Australian in their approach. You know, being an Australian is about being someone who's not afraid to speak their mind. We live in Australia. We're very lucky to live in this country. And this country was built on the values of freedom. And that's what the Anzacs died for. Now, how many times have you seen the Ukrainian community come out and join a freedom protest? Mate, I went to freedom protests all around the country, just as you did in Melbourne, and we were fighting for freedom. We were there. I didn't see all these people there. These people now who are in the Senate demanding that Australia pays money to Zelensky, demanding that Australia hands over its last weapons stocks to Zelensky. How is that not foreign influence, ladies and gentlemen? You're worried about people in the anti-vax movement and you're trying to say that's foreign influence. Meanwhile, it's the pot calling the kettle black, and I think these people really need to wake up and have a look at themselves. People like Mrs. Arguru from the Ukrainian Federation, Ukrainian Organization Council. Of course she's got an agenda. Of course she's going to go into the Senate and demand that they shut down Telegram and Facebook so people can't discuss their opinion. Mate, this is somewhere I think the Ukrainians actually shot themselves in the foot. And this Senate committee hearing that was broadcasted today on the 21st of April, I think it's an own goal. I think the majority of Australians out there will listen to that, look at that, and just be outraged and say, who are they to tell us what we can and can't listen to? If people want to log into Telegram or log into TNT Radio or go and listen to alternative media, they should be able to. It's their right. It's their prerogative. Unfortunately, the government wants us to sit there like zombies and watch press conferences from Kerry Chant and Dan Andrews and ask about why, what kind of masks we should, two or three masks, or having four or five jabs. They want us to be zombies. They don't want us to have any opinions. Unfortunately, that's the reality of Australia today, but it's not all bad news, because I think more Australians are aware of this than ever. There's a huge amount of us out there, millions of Australians who are awake, and they see straight through the government propaganda. They see straight through the propaganda of the Zelensky regime and the mainstream media.
I think the Anzac legend is very difficult for them too, because it actually does represent a different time, a different epoch. And those guys, particularly up until the Second World War, and I'd maybe say even as late as Vietnam in many respects, although they were fighting with the US in Vietnam, so maybe there's a delineation and a change that does occur there, but was to fight for the British Empire, wasn't it? Because Australia was a totally different demographic makeup. And as we've talked about already on this show this week, that they put Japanese people in internment camps or German people in internment camps. But can you imagine now what would happen if there was a conflict over Taiwan? How would Australia go about putting somewhere not quite a million maybe people that originally come from China into an internment camp. It just wouldn't be possible, would it? I mean, it's we've gone to another era, haven't we? We have actually now inhabiting a totally different era.
Well, coming back to what we've been saying for many years, Australian neutrality on the foreground of a the background of a global conflict, which is taking place now all around the world. There's a war in Sudan that's kicked off. There's trouble in Taiwan. There's trouble in Europe. There's nothing wrong with Australia staying out of the war, all the wars. I would love for Australia to just say, we're neutral, thank you very much, and all of the diasporas that live here and everyone who lives here is welcome to share their opinions, is welcome to go on their Telegram channels and talk about things on the radio, and everyone can have an opinion. But Australia will not be involved in any wars. How hard is it for our politicians to say that? They can't say it because they're in handcuffs. They're gagged by the establishment of the West, and unfortunately they're not serving the interests of the Australian people. And I think that this is another attempt to try to shut down TikTok completely, whether you like TikTok or not. Personally, I don't use TikTok, but I don't think it's a good thing. It's not a good precedent. They'll shut down TikTok today. Tomorrow, they'll shut down Twitter and Facebook and Telegram. And this is all about censorship, government censorship. And who does it benefit? It benefits those people who really are subversively working in the backgrounds in Canberra, in the hallways of Parliament. We've got these Ukrainian lobbyists pushing our government to go to war. And of course, they don't appreciate or they don't like where people have a different opinion, where Australians are saying no to Zelensky, no to our taxpayer dollars going overseas. They're jumping up and down and they're throwing the foreign influence card into the mix. They're trying to paint everyone with that brush now. We can't let them get away with this, and I'm glad we're having this conversation.
It's interesting because you say they're trying to shut down TikTok and the US are really wanting to shut down TikTok, but they found out so many former US State Department officials now have senior positions as part of TikTok. So the complexity is manifold, isn't it? It just keeps unfolding. And the good thing is we're going to be here next week to continue this conversation. So, ring up me and the Cossack and we will we'll not be afraid to put out those opinions that you won't hear in the mainstream. Thanks for joining me this week, mate. It's been great to have you. You're listening to TNT Radio.